The Second Vatican Council described it as the source and summit of salvation. For 2,000 years, people have lived and died for it. Even the Emperor Napoleon surprised everybody when he was asked what was the most important day of his life. He did not mention any great battle or event that was significant in the eyes of the world. Instead, he recalled the day of his first Holy Communion. The Eucharist is the centre of our life as Catholics. If the understanding of the Eucharist is correct, then many other aspects of the Church also fall into the right perspective. It is for this reason that Pope Benedict chose the Eucharist as the first apostolic exhortation of his pontificate. Father Richard Taylor teaches New Testament studies and biblical foundations of theology at the Pontifical Beda College and the Angelicum University in Rome. He comments,
"Well, it's an enormously long document, isn't it? In my English edition, it goes to 159 pages. Mind you, it's a small edition, but on the other hand, it's very packed. And it has to be read, obviously, in tandem with the encyclical, which the Pope had published earlier on, Deus Caritas Est. So you read both together, and I think one gets a feel for the nature of this apostolic exhortation.
It's an amazingly comprehensive document.
It is, and in fact it is almost like a compendium on the Eucharist, both on the theology of the Eucharist and the liturgical aspects of the Eucharist, and, shall we say, the use of the Eucharist. So it also covers attitudes and dispositions with regard to people basically, shall we say, praying the Eucharist or offering the Eucharist. It's because it covers priests and lay people and everyone. So it is very comprehensive, yes.
And it struck me as well when I was reading it. It's looking on the Eucharist as the Eucharist, but it's also looking on the Church as the body of Christ and tying up the Church as the body of Christ with the Eucharist as well.
That's right. The present Holy Father has a great love of Augustine, and that is the Augustinian position that you've just presented. In other words, the Eucharist and the Church, both the body of Christ. And to be identified with Jesus is to be identified with Jesus also in the Eucharist, sacramentally. Now, when you read the way in which the present Holy Father has written this exhortation, it follows a very classical approach, because you've got Scripture, you've got the Fathers, then you've got the lex orandi, the law of prayer is the law of belief. So, in fact, it's a very nice way of presenting the theory and the practice. So you know exactly the theological basis for it all, and then he spells out the practical implications, which are to be desired to show maximum respect and maximum participation.
Yes, because when it's talking about participation, it actually goes down to such things as priestly formation, because the priests are the ones who are going to have to offer the Eucharist. But it looks at the Eucharist inside marriage, and even the Eucharist for prisoners as well, and the Eucharist in art, the Eucharist in religious life.
Yes, its starting point is the mystery of the Eucharist. So to have a reverential attitude to the Eucharist, to recognize that one is in the awe-inspiring presence of God, and that is where the major introductory description of the Eucharist is articulated. Now, after that, the centrality of the Eucharist in everybody's life is then drawn out with what it does for prayer as the source and the summit of really all prayer. Now, the people who are responsible for making the Eucharist a living reality in people's lives, these, obviously, are the priests when they celebrate the Eucharist. And what the Holy Father has asked for, it's quite a lot, really, because he has asked that, obviously, a proper theological formation be given to seminarians who prepare for the priesthood. He's asked that they know the history of the liturgy, both as art and in music. He would like them to be able to teach people and sing some Gregorian chant. He would like them to know some Latin and expects the seminaries would do something about that. And he wants them to be good homilists so that the quality of the preaching would be seen to be consonant with the mystery and the importance of the Eucharist. So a great deal of expectation is articulated in this particular exhortation. I was thinking afterwards, what sort of effects all over would one look for? And I think those of us who are brought up in the old tradition would recognize a lot of it. He wants a very, very committed devotion in a renewed life of prayer. He wants more holy hours, more time spent in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And he's also encouraging people to go to Mass and to go to Mass with this sense of the people of God collectively together offering the sacramental sacrifice to the Heavenly Father. So it's as you say, very comprehensive, but also very, very practical in what one would expect, things people might do.